Hello and welcome back to the TTP Field Manual Podcast. My name is Joshy, and today I will be talking you through a bit of a primer, if you will, for getting started with the Warhammer 40,000 Black Library. This is somewhat of a reading primer, as well as it is a sort of northern star for where to actually start the factions of your choice. This is going to be a hopefully shorter episode that is going to basically tie you all over until our regular schedule kicks back into gear. Our next episode should actually be a book club where we will be covering two books at once, the Age of Sigmar novel Starseer's Ruin by Adrian Tchaikovsky, as well a non-Warhammer novel called Hovercar Racer by Australian author Matthew Riley. If you're new here, we have been doing book clubs monthly or bi-monthly for about a year now, covering mostly Warhammer novels, particularly Horus Heresy, and it's come to our conclusion that it's really hard to pick where we want to go next. There's only so many months in the year, there's only so much time to read. But naturally, what is going to take our interests might not be quite scratching your itch. I want to put this podcast out there so that you can have your own sort of teeing off point. Where to go next? What to read next? What's catching your attention? Before I get really into it, I would like to remind you that we have a community Discord. Our community Discord will be linked in the description of this episode. Over there, you can join in on some chat forums, some community discussions, and if you are really invested in reading these novels, being part of our book club, well, you can join in on the conversation, can't you? Our next book club will be mentioned at the end of our next book club episode, but I will let you know, a little teaser, it's a Horus Heresy novel. All right, so getting started with the Black Library. It's an interesting question, isn't it? What do I mean getting started? Do you want to collect? There's a lot of people out there collecting Black Library. And that's because there are lots of different editions of the books that come out. And how this really works is that a novel is usually announced. A few months later, they go up for pre-order. And they usually go up for pre-order as a limited edition, very limited, really hard to come by. And these get scooped up and potentially resold for quite a lot of money, because they're also quite pretty and they'll look really good on your shelf. In recent years, this has been going on more and more often. A lot of titles getting this exclusive limited edition treatment, with some older titles also getting this anniversary reprint or new edition for a book that's been out for many, many years. Regardless, eventually, these books get released again, half a year to a year later on average, as paperback covers. This is usually what you're going to run into in shops and various stores and online retailers. And that's how a lot of people pick up their print. They usually miss out on this limited edition stuff and then wait for the paperback. For me and for us here on the TTP, we tend to follow the audiobook versions over on Audible, not sponsored, but you know, if you're listening, Audible. And this is actually really clutch for us because pretty much all of the novels that get put out, when those limited edition stuff do come out, the audio version is usually there right away. As well, of course, we have the ebook side of things, your PDFs and your e-readers. There is a new Black Library application, which is going to go into that whole ecosystem of e-readings, like files and stuff, but that's not really the topic of today. Black Library itself has been going on for a couple of decades now. A lot of the earliest works, if you will, are considered quite seminal and are often what you are going to hear if you were to ask the question, where should I begin? What novels should I start with? You're going to hear very often, start with Eisenhorn, which is a very infamous Inquisitor who is probably my favorite character in all of the Black Library tapestry. His sort of saga spans 10 books, not always focusing on him, but people in his orbit. As well, you're probably going to hear Gaunt's Ghosts, which is more of the guardsman side of the Imperial coin. Again, many, many, many books written by Dan Abnett, who's well regarded for bringing these worlds to life. And depending on who you're asking, you're probably going to get a couple of fan favorites. You might get The Infinite and the Divine by the Necrons, which we did do a book club on as well. You'll probably start to hear things such as The Devastation of Baal, which is Blood Angels versing the Tyranids, or rather, the Tyranids come to devour their homeworld and almost succeed. As well, you're probably also going to hear things such as Hell's Reach, where the Black Templars defend one of the Hive Cities of Armageddon from overwhelming amount of orcs. We also have done a book club on that one. Or The Night Lords Omnibus, which is a very well-beloved look at some absolutely cracked villains in the setting. They are not good guys, all right? They're not good guys. As well, you probably will hear a lot of, just get started with the Horus Heresy. Just start with the Horus Heresy. You could. You could start with the trilogy, the opening trilogy. That is Horus Rising, False Gods, and Galaxy in Flames. This is fair. It's a great opening trilogy without spreading out into too many directions. However, after that first 3 to arguably 5 opening books in the series, with Flight of Eisenstein and Fulgrim being 4 and 5, it does sort of branch out into a choose-your-own-adventure. We have also covered those first 5 books here as book club episodes. And what I might actually do is post a link to a playlist of all of our book club episodes if you'd like to go back through and listen to mine and my co-host Johnny, who's unfortunately not here with me today, our thoughts on these books. All right, so that's the sort of opening spiel. My biggest advice to you, if you are not a huge reader, but you really like a particular faction, let's say you like orcs, let's say you like space marines, or even you're just interested in the general overview of the setting. If you're interested in a general overview of the setting, pick up the actual tabletop game, Warhammer 40,000's core rulebook. Now, we just started 11th edition, and the core rules for once actually doesn't have much of the lore with it. But if you go back and increasingly you're going to find the 9th and 10th edition rulebooks going for very cheap because the rules are out of date. These books have a lot of pages basically covering the start to end of the timeline of the setting as it has existed for literal decades at this point. The core rulebook will give you the play-by-play major beats of the timeline of this universe, with the novels themselves usually representing small vignettes of the overall universe, not necessarily moving things forward too much. Sometimes they do, mostly they don't. Otherwise, pick up the faction codicy of your choice. Again, new edition rules are starting to sort of cycle over into a new framework. So all the codices that are at the time of recording and publishing presently out are for a edition of the game that is going to become soon outdated. These codices are going to probably get a little bit cheap, and we'll have the first third to maybe half of the book filled with essentially the overview of the faction, a more intimate snapshot of that overview start to finish of the faction's history within the saga. But yeah, all right, so that's the opening spiel of getting into Black Library 40K. What I'm going to be doing now is going through basically every playable faction on the tabletop and giving you 1 to 2 recommendations with a brief comment on how they sort of go and what they're sort of about. All right, Space Marines. Naturally, I'm going to start us off with Ultramarines. Ultramarines are actually quite blessed with the amount of literature they possess. Uriel Ventress is a well-regarded character in the lore because he has quite a number of books to his name. I believe 7 sequential novels to his name, with the first one being 2002's Nightbringer. Yes, that shares the name of the Necron Catan. Bit of a spoiler in the title there. Uriel Ventress sort of stars in these very pulpy, hero hammer sort of pulp fiction. If you want to get in and see Space Marines doing really cool things, that is where I would recommend if you wanted to do Ultramarines. Book 1, Nightbringer. Into the future, however, Swords of Kalth, which is, I believe, number 7 or similar, around that point. Swords of Kalth is to me, a bit of a sort of spiritual remake of that first book. Both books sort of cycle back around to dealing with a Necron threat. However, Nightbringer is more of a Dark Elder threat, and inside that anarchy, a Catan shard is unleashed through the general anarchy of the city under siege by the Dark Elder raiding parties. If you're not quite interested in Uriel Ventress in this sort of sprawling look at this fellow's life, also I will mention Swords of Kowth does offer an interesting insight into a Space Marine crossing from the Firstborn guys into the Primaris sort of remake, if you will, and dealing with that mentally and physically. Knights of Macrug follows a different Ultramarines character, Cardo Sicarius. It does sort of follow on from one of the Space Marine Battles novels, which is Damnos, where the Ultramarines had to go up against, once again, Necrons. Knights of Macrug is a more modern tale, which has Cardo Sicarius stranded with his company in the warp in this horror in the walls narrative. Their ship is strewn adrift inside the warp and demons are besieging their craft, and it's just a horrifying tale. Those are the two I would sort of recommend. However, to go into that sort of evergreen entry point, Dark Imperium books 1-3, or otherwise known as the Plague Wars, also focuses quite a lot on the Ultramarines, but also their Primarch Gilliman. So really, you actually have three recommendations there. For Salamanders, Salamanders unfortunately have a bit of a short end of the stick. Salamanders have a bit of an older series known as the Tome of Fire, written by Nick Keim back in 2009. There are, of course, also the Vulcan Saga and the Horus Heresy, but both of these series get a little bit of a bad rep. They're not considered overly fantastic, but regardless, they do have their fans. Fortunately for these books, they have the benefit of doing what all good books ought to do, which is give a good insight into the actual chapter itself and the cultural practices and belief structures, methodologies of warfare and the like that you would want if you were to pick up a book to know about these various chapters. So Salamander's Tome of Fire. Imperial Fists. Imperial Fists is interesting because in the modern 40K, there's not a whole lot of dedicated Imperial Fists sagas. There are the occasional books that pop up where they focus as maybe a character, if not POV, then one of the secondary characters. Nonetheless, I would recommend Rinsworld, actually, by Steve Parker. 2010 it came out. Rinsworld by Steve Parker. This actually focuses on the Crimson Fists, a successor chapter of the Imperial Fists, and actually, I believe the first chapter that was ever actually designed for Warhammer. They graced the cover of the first edition of Warhammer 40K. This novel is a bit of a tragic one. It is pulpy. It is fun. It's a bit of an archetypal, quote-unquote, bolter porn novel. It is a bit nostalgic, if you will, for what I just said before, them being one of the first chapters to actually be designed for the setting from a narrative perspective. And this basically focuses on how Space Marines go when backed into the final corner, essentially. A long line of catastrophes befall their homeworld during a besiegement of orcs, and they basically have to fight to the last. Otherwise, and it's going to sound really goes against recommendations, but the Siege of Terror, the sort of second half, if you will, of the whole Horus Heresy saga, is kind of the Imperial Fists shining moment as they are defending Terra until they win or lose, effectively. The traitors are on the doors and they have no choice but to fight and fight to the death because no much more help is coming. Yes, the book series has lots of other characters, all the traitor forces, various guard, various political entities, blood angels, white scars, so many characters. It's Game of Thrones, like final seasons. However, there's a lot of Imperial Fists. Am I recommending it as a first time? No. But if you are a bit more into it, consider that the Siege of Terror has a lot of great Imperial Fists stuff. Iron Hands. Iron Hands, like Salamanders, like what you're going to realize with White Scars and Raven Guard. Also, not too much has been done for them. Iron Hands are probably one of, if not the most underwritten chapters. With that said, though, Wrath of Iron by Chris Raitt in 2012 has a really good portrayal of how crap the Imperium is and how uniquely the Iron Hands actually stand apart. They don't really like flesh. They want to be as mechanized as can be, replacing parts of themselves with bionic augmentations. And this sort of replacement and development of themselves somehow kind of makes them super soldiers, if you will, with just an incredible track record of victories, but it makes them less human, less emotional, but they are just this fearsome bionic terminator in the corner of the Imperium, which makes for a pretty interesting aesthetic. White Scars and Raven Guard go with the Iron Hands and not really having that much going on. The Space Marine Battles and Space Marine Conquest series, which each book's sort of like an individualized vignette focusing on different characters, much like the Final Fantasy games, if you will. White Scars and Raven Guard don't get too much outside of this type of literature, with the Hunt for Voldorius being one that comes to mind, where the White Scars and Raven Guard, notably Korsara Khan and Kaivan Shrike, both characters with models on the tabletop, both of them have to team up against a Demon Prince, actually. I believe an Alpha Legion Demon Prince. And so there's a little bit of that fun team up going for it. The White Scars do feature as well in the Damocles anthology. I believe the Raven Guard are also there. It's not quite a novel. I would suggest that the White Scars, you actually go into the Horus Heresy and read their novel Scars by Chris Raitt. A lot of the Horus Heresy novels I'm going to mention today do a fantastic job of giving a background to these chapters, at the time they were legions, basically rounding them out as individuals, giving them a sense of identity, a sense of culture, beliefs, ways of waging war, and just setting them apart from all of their other contemporaries in a way that a lot of the 40K novels that exist just don't, at least not yet, for a lot of these first founding legions. So White Scars, go read Scars from the Horus Heresy. And for Raven Guard, there is the Korax anthology, but you could pass that. You could skip that one. Now, outside of them, we have the really popular guys, Blood Angels, Dark Angels, Black Templars, Space Wolves, Death Watch. These fellows do have some pretty dedicated literature. Blood Angels, Devastation of Baal, Tyranids, Apocalyptic Event at the Homeworld. Blood Angels call all of their successes. Tens of thousands of Blood Angels fight to the death. For the Dark Angels, I tried really hard to find a novel in their tapestry that actually offers a nice enrichment of who they are. And the community seems to indicate that they come up a bit short. And so I'm going to just suggest, read The Lion, Son of the Forest. It is probably at the very end of the timeline of 40K. It's as recent as can be. The Lion, Primarch of the Dark Angels, is back. This is his novel of finding himself after a long time away from the universe and essentially reconciling elements of the past for his legion, bringing back this sort of traitorous, hunted aspects of his legion of old and band of brothersing it back into the modern setting. I'm yet to read it. I just picked it up, but everyone seems to gloss over it. One of my friends, like the only Warhammer book he's read, and he thinks it's fantastic. Black Templars, Hell's Reach. Perfect book. I love this book a lot. Really, really, really do. It's probably my favorite actual novel that I've read, and I've read close to 40 novels in the Black Library. Not favorite book outside the Black Library, but my favorite within the Black Library. Aaron Dembski Bowden is fantastic at characterization, and Hell's Reach, which was one of our most recent book clubs, we gush about it for like half an hour, so go there and listen to that. And then Space Wolves, also bless similar to Ultramarines with this early 2000s Hero Hammer sprawling saga. You have the Ragnar Blackmane Omnibus. There's six or seven books of his that basically follow his initiation into the Space Wolves, rising up into the rank of captaincy. His later books go and explore other parts of the universe and greater threats than simply what an initiate would do. Regardless, a lot of the Space Wolf novels tend to have them square off against Thousand Suns, if you like that. One of the Space Marine battles, Battle for the Fang, features fan favorite Bjorn the Fell-Handed going up against Magnus, actually, so that's real fun. That's on my to-read list. And for Death Watch, we have Steve Parker's duology, which is a little controversial, but Death Watch, as it's titled, and Shadowbreaker are both some of the most fun Space Marine novels you'll come across, but they're also sort of takes you into territories of the universe that you might just not be expecting. But the Band of Brothers, each Space Marine being a different sort of background, different chapters, it's a really fun thing to come across. And Death Watch itself is getting a little bit of love as it recently got a new edition, a community reprint voting thing that Black Library does every year. And for Grey Knights, I would recommend The Emperor's Gift by Aaron Dembski Bowden. The Emperor's Gift is something that I'm maybe steering the pod into listening into the future, because it's one of the only novels that actually focuses on the First War for Armageddon, eventually, in the back half, where the World Eaters and Angron actually descend onto Armageddon and the Grey Knights have to deal with it. The first half of the book supposedly goes into fantastic detail about the Grey Knights, who are extremely mysterious in their ways and, you know, hard to actually find a lot of their lore besides. Moving away from Space Marines, though, going to get a lot of more relatable tales, if you will, with the various books that cover the Imperium of Man. Space Marines tend to be that more pulpy action page-turner stuff, but a lot of the Imperium stuff at large tends to offer actually a bit more nuance. There are, of course, Space Marine novels such as The Emperor's Spears and Brothers of the Snake, which are really decent dives into the psychology of the Astartes and how they could be so unique. But moving away from Space Marines and those few recommendations, for Astra Militarum, you do have one of the largest sprawls of novels in the modern setting with Minka Lesk and the Cadian Honor Saga. Technically, I think it's Cadia Stands is the first one, but I didn't think that was very good. But the Minka Lesk novels is a relatively modern and still ongoing saga of the Neo-Cadians surviving post-destruction of Cadia into 42nd millennium. As I said earlier in the episode, Gaunt's Ghost is probably one of the most regarded sagas in all of 40k, if not just for the Guard. So there's that. Besides them, Steve Lyons is on a absolute steamroll with Death Corps of Krieg. His most recent book is The Relentless Dead, a standalone novel, which makes me think it could be a Kill Team novel because it's very small scale, small cast of characters, underground, in a spooky maze of tunnels and such, just trying to get through their mission. Besides Death Corps of Krieg, who also do have the Siege of Rack saga, a book that keeps getting mentioned over and over again to the point where I've actually picked it up myself recently is Death Worlder, a Catachan v. Tyranids novel, except this kind of takes the perspective of the Tyranids have already won, and the planet is in its death throes, being slowly digested. But both sides of the conflict are very well portrayed, I'm told, with the Catachan having a lot of great characters, very balanced novel, and a lot of people consider it a bit of a sleeper hit. For AdMech, we have a few options. Belisarius Call, the Great Work by Guy Haley, offers a really fantastic look into the mind of the head honcho of the AdMech for a lot of people, like their perspective of who the head honcho is. Belisarius Call's an absolute madman of a character, a really fun individual to get into the mindset of. I'm not a huge fan of Guy Haley's works. However, I thought Belisarius Call has a fantastic characterization in the novels that Guy Haley writes. And so that's also a pretty decent idea. I would say as well, much like what I was saying with some of the Horus Heresy stuff, there is a novel titled Mechanicum, which is going to focus in a bit more on the philosophical musings of the various Mechanicum, Mechanicus ideologies. As well, this is the civil war between Mechanicus, Mechanicum, not quite Chaos, not quite Imperium versions of the same sort of idea. But Forges of Mars by Graham McNeil, if you want a deep sci-fi epic with a lot of unique exploration, descriptions, lots of great little vignettes throughout the saga, Forges of Mars by Graham McNeil. Mechanicum's there, Belisarius Call, the great work is there, but Forges of Mars is just a fantastic, deep sci-fi epic. Moving past the Guard and the Admech, though, for the Imperium at large, there is a few novels that go without saying that borrow a lot of fantastic inspiration from real-world conflicts, real-world military fiction. Titanicus by Dan Abnett is interesting because you have these personified walking engines of war, but think naval battles, submarines, cruisers, in this sort of naval dogfight, except they're Titans. And it's written by Dan Abnett, so fantastic world building all the same. If you're not quite into walking engines of war, Dan Abnett also has the Double Eagle duology for the Aeronautica Imperialis, the dogfighters and aircraft pilots of the Guard. Aeronautica Imperialis novels are few and far between, but Double Eagle has gotten something of a renaissance of late with its sequel Interceptor City coming out at the end of last year. Double Eagle feels distinctly World War II fighter pilot in nature, despite the Warhammer 40k paint job over the top. Besides that, if you want a general high-octane romp, a real fun Expendables A-Team kind of vibe, Baneblades and then its sequel novel Shadow Sword by Guy Haley is this, but with like super heavy tanks in the mix. If you want something a bit more personal, intimate, a bit more focusing on the fog of war, the mental anguish and stress of just simply being in war, Andy Clark's Steel Tread and its sequel Demolisher is fantastic as it follows specifically just a singular tank crew in a war zone. So yeah, for the more vehicular side of things, Titanicus by Dan Abnett, Double Eagle by Dan Abnett as well for the aircraft, Guy Haley's Baneblade and Shadow Sword, and Andy Clark's Steel Tread and Demolisher. Moving past them, however, Assassinorum Kingmaker, now this is a fun one. Imagine a knight household. However, they're going through a bit of a political thing. They are going through a whole new political sort of upheaval, revolution, who's next in line on the throne type of deal. And to make sure it goes in a particular direction, a couple of assassins ascend, a Vindicare assassin and a Calidus assassin. This is on my to-read list, but this is one of those novels that you can't seem to get away from in terms of a suggested reading list. So those books I mentioned at the very start of this episode, add this one to it, Assassinorum Kingmaker, bit of a political espionage novel, that one. But if you really want to dive into the more political aspect of the setting, the Vaults of Terror saga, as well the Watchers of the Throne saga, these two somewhat separate sagas do bind into each other. I believe it goes Vaults of Terror 1, Watchers of the Throne 1, Vaults 2, Watchers 2, Vaults 3. Vaults of Terror and Watchers of the Throne are both by Chris Raitt, with Vaults of Terror focusing on a small inquisitorial band on Terra, on the throne world, with Watchers of the Throne being the Custodian Guard and the Sisters of Silence. Both of those offer a really fantastic look into just the political hellhole that is Terra. The descriptions throughout these books are impeccable. It paints this terrible image of just how rough the homeworld actually is, and it's a great little saga that I think should not be missed. If, however, it is a bit more of a thinking man's book, you know? And then, of course, for Inquisition, the Eisenhorn saga. I've got a whole episode with Johnny out from the end of last year where I recount basically Greg Inquisitor's whole saga, so you can go listen to that. And then for Sisters of Battle, or The Adeptus Sororitas, Mark of Faith by Rachel Harrison, or Requiem Infernal by Peter Feavari. Requiem Infernal, we do have a book club episode on as well. Requiem Infernal is this dark, twisted, more like poetic prose, a bit more of a deeper philosophical take on the setting. But Mark of Faith by Rachel Harrison is a really grim, dark aesthetic with a lot more deeper personalities and long-lasting injuries, both physical and mental, as the Sororitas go off on their, you could say, holy crusades. And that's the Imperium recommendations I have for you. For the Chaos side of the coin, Chaos are quite blessed, I will admit. There are lots of books that highlight the various legions of Chaos with a lot of fantastic nuance that makes them very entertaining, because they really lean into both the flaws of these characters, but also show them very staunchly just existing in the space, not denying who they are, but leaning into it. For Black Legion, we have an Aaron Dembski-Bowden duology, The Talon of Horus, following up with Black Legion. This is often cited as being a series that convinces people wholeheartedly on the Black Legion, and to an extent Abaddon, which is interesting, but it shows off Abaddon as being this very regal, sophisticated entity who's really rounded out across the edges over the long years he's been alive and fighting, not just this meme-y war master of Chaos, but a very deep, rich character who's created his own empire inside the Eye of Terror. If you did want something kind of meme-y and mustache-twirling villainy, the Word Bearers, the architects of the whole heresy, they do have an omnibus starting with Dark Apostle, and they're just very evil bad men doing very evil bad demon man things, but there's no audiobook version. The First Heretic is a Horus Heresy title, but it shows how they got how they are. This is showing the fall of the Word Bearers as they go off and go meet with the powers that be. And so I think having that origin story is pretty neat. For the Alpha Legion, check out either Legion by Dan Ebnett in The Heresy for a similar origins story, or for a modern take, Shroud of Night by Andy Clark, which is effectively a heist novel, but Alpha Legion in 40k against Sororitas, with a little splashing of somehow Khan the Betrayer of the World Eaters. Seems like a bit of a chaotic time, and that's definitely on my to-check-out list. Iron Warriors? We actually have Storm of Iron. And this one's interesting because a lot of the Iron Warriors novels, which is also written by Graham McNeil, is like a secondary side of the coin to the Uriel Ventress Ultramarine saga. The character that Graham McNeil has as a bit of a POV character is Honsu, an evil warsmith. Very bad man. And the Honsu and Uriel Ventress storylines quite frequently cross over into one another, but Storm of Iron is the book to read. Features a very classic Iron Warriors siege warfare. And then for Nightlords, I already mentioned Aaron Dembski-Bowden's got an omnibus, so three books for the Nightlords. This is one of my favorite books series in all of the Black Library. ADB does a fantastic job of making you root for just some really bad, messed up individuals. There are frequently times within the story where you're thinking, wow, which messed up fellow's doing this? And then you realize, oh, it's the main character. And then for the cult factions, Thousand Sons, World Eaters, Death Guard, Emperor's Children, well, all of them do have fantastic heresy novels, would you believe it? With Thousand Sons, you've got the Thousand Sons, well-titled book in the heresy, which shows their culture and it all falling apart and Magnus is unraveling and whatnot. With the World Eaters, we have Betrayer, which actually follows the Word Bearer's First Heretic novel, where they actually also follow, it follows First Heretic, Know No Fear, which is an Ultramarines novel by and large, and then Betrayer. This forms a neat little trilogy where Ultramarines, World Eaters, and Word Bearers all get really flushed out. But this is really the World Eater's book, and by that I mean Betrayer. This is where Angron turns into the Demon Primarch, and it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic. Say less. For Death Guard, the last book in the Heresy is called The Buried Dagger, and are you noticing a theme here? This is where they turn into the corrupted version of themselves as First Captain Typhus sabotages the whole Legion, and Mortarion basically has to sell his soul to Nurgle to effectively save his Legion from falling to death to Nurgle. Instead, they come out quite enjoying it, actually. And for Emperor's Children, Book 5, Fulgrim, this is a horrifying tale. This is the one that, of all the Black Library books, has probably stayed with me for its creepy imagery and just unsettling nature. It is a absolute tragedy of a story, watching this fall from grace that is the Emperor's Children and their Primarch Fulgrim. Again, we did a book club on this one, and I think we talked quite a lot in that one, so check that out. In for more of a modern take, though, for Thousand Sons, the Ahriman Saga is a fun one. It's quite a lot of shenanigans, a lot of plans and motions that constantly get unraveled and remade and reapproached. And Ahriman is just trying his damnedest to get ahead and succeed in his various machinations, but something's always going wrong. There's always a wrench being thrown into it. And as time goes on, he just becomes more and more of a homicidal maniac with extreme magical powers. For World Eater, there's not a whole lot. There's some stories that focus on Khan and Angron. Angron had the Red Angel, which came out recently at around about the same time as The Lion Son of the Forest, so there's that. For Death Guard, The Lords of Silence by Chris Raitt does a really wonderful job of showing just the everyday Death Guard Marine, but in the now. Not as this evil antagonist, not as a comedic, Nurgle bumbling, pus belly guy, but really how they're going, what their culture is like, what their philosophy is like, and what they're up to. And for Emperor's Children, funnily enough, I would recommend actually the Fabius Bile series. This is the series that got Johnny, frequent co-host here, on to reading Black Library in general, I'm pretty sure. And Fabius Bile, kind of like Ahriman, is just this madman, except instead of magic, it's science. So there's that. And that would be the Chaos recommendations. And now moving on into the Xenos novels. Well, unfortunately, Xenos gets the short end of the stick a lot in terms of POV novels. However, there's a little bit of a resurgence in recent years. There's a few novels coming out to give the Xenos races their time to shine. For the Eldari craft worlds, I have to give it to Valador by Guy Haley. This is another one that's on my list to read, but by and large, all the accounts of this book is damn, it's good. This is the Tyranids coming up to the various sort of craft world institutions as the Eldari know it and threaten them completely. So much, in fact, that even the Dark Elder come and help the craft worlds against the Nids. This is also a Prince Irial novel as well. So, you know, new Corsair guy. Well, he's not new, but he just got a new model. So Prince Irial, Craft Worlds, Dark Elder, Tyranids. Probably going to feature this one in the book clubs in the next several months. So I'm looking forward to reading this one myself. For the actual Corsairs, though, very recently, very beloved book, Void Scarred by Mike Brooks, a Corsairs POV novel, which apparently has romance in it, which, not in my Warhammer novels, says a lot of people, but it would be really nice to get my hands on this one as well and read into some Corsair POV that in the middle between the more noble Eldari craft welders, the crazy Yanari, the sadistic Drukhari. It'd be good. Speaking of Drukhari, though, Andy Chambers' Path of the Dark Elder trilogy, which starts with Renegade, is apparently a fantastic look into the Komora society. However, at the time of recording, there is no audio version, unfortunately. If you are wanting a little look into Dark Elder Society, Leveth Hesperax has a novella, also by Mike Brooks, This one didn't wow me, if I'm being completely honest, but it does have a several hour look into Gomorrah society. And I thought it was neat to get a little bit of a taste for the witch cults and the political hierarchy, even though it's only touched upon. It was a nice sort of put your toe into the pond, if you will, of these sadistic mofos. And if you were wanting something that touches on Exodites who just got revealed for Kill Team, hilariously, I'm going to recommend a Necron novel, The Infinite and the Divine. Infinite and Divine, I don't think I'd recommend this as someone's like first book or one of the first books for Warhammer. But if you know Necrons, you know Eldari, and you want some Exodites, Infinite and the Divine. They are an antagonist in the first few hours of the book, or first few chapters if you're reading it with your eyes, not your ears. But for the Necrons themselves, Twice Dead King. Oh boy, Twice Dead King by Nate Crowley is a duology. You think you know Necrons, if you read Infinite and the Divine, you think they're all just chuckling, wise, cracking, witty folks, but Twice Dead King has this horrifying philosophical look at the psychology of the Necrons and what it means to be a noble Necron all these millions of years later, with the fractious mindscape, watching your empire crumble to dust, being on the back end despite wielding terrifying technologies as the Imperium closes in, and, you know, time wears you down, and having a little look at just how their society fell in the first place. And yeah, Twice Dead King is quite a book. In the back view now, Orcs. Orcs are often seen as either comedic chops, you know, the comedic back and forth in other books, or as silly little short stories, or this unspeaking barbarian horde of millions of terrifying apish brutes in books such as Hell's Reach or Rinswell. But author Mike Brooks, who's getting a lot of street cred for his work with the Xenos factions, does have a lot of orcish novels. War Boss is the first in a small saga, and it's considered quite good look into orc culture seen through a various rivalry of war bosses in the last couple of years. Other writers who I think got a lot of their orcish start in the Red Gobbo novellas are starting to add more and more orcish novels to the tapestry, and I think that popularity of the orcs is actually coming from Mike Brooks. So pick up War Boss and enjoy a very comedic flair to the Warhammer saga, which is often quite grim. For the Tau, people would often suggest reading the Farsight novels, but then a lot of people would suggest not reading the Farsight novels because it doesn't do a great job at characterizing the Tau society. If that's something that is striking a chord with you and you want to get into the nitty-gritty of the Tau society itself, look up Elemental Council by Noah Van Nguyen. Noah Van Nguyen also has made great headway with a couple of stories in Age of Sigma with God Eater's Son. But Noah Van Nguyen's book, Elemental Council for the Tau, it's a very long book by Warhammer standards. I'm saying this having not read it, but I did buy it like last week, so bear with me. Elemental Council apparently is this fantastic look into the nuanced cultures of the Tau, whilst exploring various themes of philosophy and political ideologies, feudalism, imperialism, caste systems, in a way that hasn't really been done for the Tau before. And it also features one of my favorite Space Marine chapters, The Raptors, a Raven Guard successor chapter, if you will. So if you're interested in both Raven Guard and Tau, this might be the book for you. I'm very keen to sink my teeth into this one, actually. And then for the last couple of books here on my little list for you guys, the Leagues of Votan only has one book, I think. High Carl's Oath by Gav Thorpe. Apparently, mixed reviews. I've not gotten around to this. The Leagues of Votan do not interest me in the slightest, but being the only book they really have, it's easy enough to recommend it. The Leagues of Votan are pretty new on the scene, so having a book in general is great. Hopefully, more comes from this. But High Carl's Oath is the book for their faction. Gene Stealer Cults. There's two books that will probably come up if you were to look them up. Day of Ascension by Adrian Tchaikovsky and Cult of the Spiral Dawn by Peter Fehervari. Read Day of Ascension, it will make a lot more sense than Cult of the Spiral Dawn. Day of Ascension, the final thing, the cults have risen up, the Tyranids are here, yippee-dee. Watch it all come crashing down. Whereas the Cult of the Spiral Dawn is technically book four in a very extracurricular saga of stories called The Dark Coil, which does feature Requiem Infernal for the Sororitas, a Space Marine horror novel, The Reverie, and what was the other? Oh yes, a Guard vs. Tau novel called Firecast. These four novels all feature in this very strange, esoteric, heady, liminal sort of horror section of the Warhammer 40,000 universe, with characters and themes and plot devices crisscrossing between the stories in a very meta way that's really not beginner friendly, as we came to realize when we did a book club for Requiem Infernal by Peter Fehervari sometime last year. But if you want something that is culminating the series, if you've already read some of them and you're interested in this deep esoteric story with Gene Stealer Cults being this background entity moving all the pieces into place, there you go. And really, that's what I've got for you today in this smaller episode. I had this episode in my head for some time now. I wanted to pump out a little list of recommendations based on the factions of your choice. Of course, there are many other novels out there, and a lot of these are done in a way that you can just sort of pick them up and read them whenever you feel like, and they will make a modicum of sense. Regardless, I hope that this episode helps you out and it gives you some directions for what you would like to read next. I know I didn't touch upon Age of Sigmar or anything like that, but this is the 40k version of that, you know? And hopefully, we'll catch you again in our next episode, which should probably be that book club I mentioned. If it's not, you can look forward to some stuff probably around the 11th edition, us reviewing some of the rules and giving a little bit of an introduction to the various factions in the game, but for the 11th edition. So yeah, that to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening. If you've got any other recommendations or if you've really enjoyed particular books and you want to gush about them again, hop on to the Discord, let us know, talk to us, we'll talk back. All right. You have yourself a wonderful day now. Catch you next time.